This is Tony Brew Ministries, welcoming you for the following Bible teaching session entitled, The Great Story Begins. They say that every good story has a good beginning and a good ending. Well, most people will look at the back of the book to see how it turns out. God's book, the Bible, has a good beginning and also a good ending. I've heard it said, and I've said it too. We've looked at the back of the book and we win. This time we're going to look at the beginning of the book. The great story begins. God is both creator and sovereign over all. He rules over all. And even though it doesn't look like much of anything is under his control now, God is still creator and he is still ruling over all. His sovereignty does not take away from the free choice of mankind. He gives us a free choice. We are created in His image after His likeness, and yet He created us with a free will to do and choose as we please, and of course there are consequences for the way that we live. We cannot blame anything in our world today on His sovereignty or on His person. The things that happen to us are our fault. We have to take responsibility for all the ills of our society and the consequences of the choices that we made. If you have problems with the beginning of the Bible, you have problems all the way through. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. God is indeed the creator. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Father is the initiator of everything. He created all things. He initiated the creation. God in eternity past, Father, Son, and Spirit. Perfect union, perfect harmony. They're together in eternity past, no problems. But God, in His infinite knowledge and wisdom, decided that He wanted a creation, and He created everything. God the Father is the initiator of all creation. And God the Son is the Word involved in creating. By Him are all things created in heaven and earth, whether they be visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things are created for Him and by Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or have meaning. That's Colossians chapter 1. John chapter 1 pictures Him as the Word, in the beginning with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is involved in creation. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There in the very beginning, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit is involved, God the Spirit, as well as God the Father and God the Son. He is involved in creation. God is creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In 6 days, God created everything. The earth and the sea, the sky, the sun and the moon and stars, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. Makes you want to sing a song. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the stars up above. Everything called love. I think it went something like that. Swimming fish, flying fowl, all cattle and beasts of the earth. Mountains and brooks and hills and valleys. It's no wonder that He saved the best till last. For on the sixth day He created man. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every thing, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God created man in His image after His likeness. And God gave them dominion over everything. Over everything that flies, swims, walks, creeps, crawls. God gave man dominion over all. And man enjoyed that dominion until he fell in the Garden of Eden by doing what God told him not to do and eating of the tree of which God said, "You will not eat of it. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." God is the creator. That's the way the story begins. God created everything. And God looked on all the works and the things that he had made, and behold, it was, in Hebrew, tov ma'od. It was very good. Praise God. He's a good God, and good God does good things, and he created everything. The story also now looks at the patriarchs, the great patriarchs. The patriarchs refer to the forefathers of our faith, the forefathers, the old-timers in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 12, God reveals himself to Abram, whom we know as Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Abraham was different from those in his father's house. His father's house was involved in idolatry. Yes, way back there in the very beginning, men began to go astray, and of course after the fall, we began to worship false gods and idols. And his father's house were involved in idol worship. But Abram was different. Abraham, I'll call him Abram or Abraham, he had a heart that was different. God reveals himself to Abram, and he calls him and said, "Go, leave your father's house, leave your kindred, get away from this stuff." The sanctified version of Jethro, get away from there, Jed, get away from there, whatever. Well, it was much more than that. Abraham, he left it all, and he got away, and he went into the place. God said, "I'll show you this land, and I will." And this is the sevenfold Abrahamic blessing. There are seven things that God said, "I will do to, for, and through Abraham. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." There you have it, my beloved. The sevenfold Abrahamic blessing. And you can count them for yourself. There are seven there. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a father of nations. I will bless him that blesses you and curse them that curse you. You have to be on God's people's side. You do not have to approve of what they do all the time. God never approved of what Israel did when they went against him. But you cannot be against them just because they're Jews, just because they're Israelites. God told Abraham, "I will bless him who blesses you, and I will curse them that curse you." God has blessed the United States of America because we have blessed his people Israel. And God blesses the churches who bless his people Israel. God blesses the countries, the nations. He blesses the individuals who will bless his people Israel. When you go against God's people, you're going against God. God has seen throughout the history, and you can read the history yourself, whether in the awful time of the Holocaust, in the times of the kings, and all throughout the conquering of the Promised Land, God always makes a way that his people will come out. And even though they suffer many losses, God always has provided a way. And he, at this very moment, even though he's not dealing with Israel as a nation, he, at this very moment, has a plan for his people. And when the times of the Gentiles run out, then the tribulation period sets in. When the time of the Gentiles run out, God will turn to his people again, and they will turn to him again. And they will say, "How in the world have I rejected my God? Have I rejected my Messiah?" They will realize, and they will know that God is their real God. They will know that Yeshua is their Messiah. They will mourn. They will see him whom they have pierced. There are a number of scriptures that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes to the earth again. Now Genesis 21, verse 3, "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Isaac is the promised son, the old age of Abraham. He had Ishmael, and God said, "Yes, I'll bless Ishmael, but in Isaac will your seed be called." So even at the advanced age of 100, and Sarah being 90, Isaac was born. Yitzhak in Hebrew, laughter, and he brought laughter to her and laughter to many people. Chapter 32 of Genesis, verse 24. Now we're talking about Jacob. Jacob was that deceiving guy, you know. "Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." What a night that must have been. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." That was a wrestling match that night. And Jacob had power, but God subdued him, and he showed him his blessing. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So now we have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And in Exodus chapter 3, God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. And he reveals himself to Moses. He said, moreover, verse 6, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." That's how God reveals himself to Moses. And all throughout the Bible, all throughout the scripture, you'll have that reference to God. This is not just an idol God. This is not just any God. This is not an Allah God or a Buddha God or any kind of other God. This is a specific, only true and living God. This is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is a triune God, and he reveals himself that way to us and, of course, to Moses. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, the patriarchs, we find them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the story has its beginning in them. God's people now are preserved all throughout the history, as I've said, and we can see it. Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, his brothers moved with envy, sold him into Egypt. Now they're having a hard time going into Egypt to get food. Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 and 5. Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." What a scare that must have been to them. "Therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Verses 7 and 8, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, people have asked, should Christians be involved in public office? And there are different feelings about it. Some say we should have all the Christians in there that we could get. And others take the view that Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, we would fight to save it and preserve it. But my kingdom is not of this world." God has used his people, various individuals, Daniel, and different people come to mind. Daniel is a big prominent one, that he was used in the kingdom of the Babylonians and Medes and Persians. He was used to bring the Jewish people and their culture to high esteem. And God used him in the kingdoms, even though they were secular kingdoms of this world. But God used him. And the way that he used him and the reason that he used him was to preserve his people. He was not trying to make Daniel a big boy in the king's house. But he used him, and the same thing happened to Joseph. Joseph was used to rule the land of Egypt. He was second under Pharaoh. And he was used to rule the land of Egypt. But the reason that God used him in that position was not just to rule Egypt, but it was to preserve his people, to save his people. So the reason that Christians should be involved in public office today is not to make a big name in this world, but it's to preserve and to promote the kingdom of God and the gospel. That would be the only spiritual reason and the real reason that would have any validity that I can think of, that God's people would need to be involved in this cesspool of stuff that's going on today. We should certainly do our best to vote the best that we can, to make the best choices that we can. But we have a kingdom that's not of this world. And our kingdom is not involved in the things of this world. Now in Genesis chapter 46, verse 2 and 3, "And God spake unto Israel," that is Jacob, "he spake to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here I am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation." And so he goes down into Egypt, realizes Joseph is still alive, and his nation, his family, his nation is preserved in the land of Egypt. If it had not been God making a way that Joseph would go before them to deliver them, their whole seed, their whole race, their family as we know it, could have and probably would have been lost. But God made sure that didn't happen. Because through Abraham, through Jacob, through his line, through Isaac, through Jacob, would finally come through the lineage of David, according to the flesh, a Messiah who is Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the one we love. He's the one we serve. And I hope that you love and serve him today. I hope that he is your Savior. And if you have not made him Lord, do that right now. Just by a simple acting and putting forth of the faith that God has given you, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Put your faith and trust in him. Repent of your sins. Turn your life away from sin. And give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Make him Lord of your life and live for him. Get into the Word. Renew your mind in God's Word. And God will make sure that you succeed, that you will be a success for his holy name. God wants you to succeed because his name is now in you. His blood is now applied to your heart and life. And he wants to make sure that you are a success. Because the more that you succeed, the more that he succeeds. God made sure that his creation was the best. And he made sure that his people, Israel, succeeded. And they could have succeeded a lot more had they listened to the voice of God. They failed many times by going against their God. And America is not Israel. Israel is not America. But there are certainly parallels. There are certainly great comparisons. Just the same as Israel has turned away from God, America is turning away from her God. The same God that made Israel great is the God that makes America great. And America is only as great as our faith in the God that made us great. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. God is the God who makes America great. The only way that America can rescue and recover herself is to come back to the same God that made this thing in the beginning. The great story begins. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God of America. He's the God that's over all. He is creator. He is sovereign. He's God Almighty. The Great Story Begins has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.